Hello, there we go. Hello, everyone. Let's move this out of the way. Just everyone can see, we can see everyone and no stands in the way. Now, let's just pray and then I'm going to just introduce my family quickly after I've prayed. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather in your name, Lord. May we never lose the wonder of the beauty of the church gathered in Jesus' name and your beauty, Jesus. May we just never lose sight of it, Lord. May we continue to marvel all our days at your goodness, at your glory, at the magnificence of who Jesus is and the great salvation that we have received in his name. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege to be here for those who see me for the first time. I'm Christopher. My wife was not last week at the service. She was not feeling well, and our daughter wasn't doing great. So, Liefie, kan jy net gou waai? That's Lisa. Wil jy gou iets kom sê? Nee. Hallo. And that's our daughter, Isla Rose. That's maybe coming up and down. She just turned 2 the other day, and then we've got Jonathan David in the pram, and tomorrow is the 28th, so tomorrow he'll be 1 month old. I think in this last month, I've aged 10 years. that's a joke that's got some half-truth in it. we've had quite an intense week, actually. My wife was struggling with some sickness. Our daughter was struggling with like a tummy bug that's doing the rounds. And then the inevitable happened. I got the tummy bug from my daughter. And I was not thirsty. I was flat on my back. I couldn't move. I didn't even have the energy to watch a movie while lying down. That's how pup I was of just, yeah. But I'm grateful to have recovered. And that I'm able, that we as a family are able actually to attend this service together. It's wonderful to be here. So, today I'm not going to preach. I thought I'm going to just share with you my testimony, but not just my salvation testimony, but more specifically, the testimony of what God has done in our lives the last 6 months. Just to backtrack and actually how we got here. And I think that would be a fitting way to start off, just to share the goodness of God in our lives. So, I'm just going to backtrack a little bit, just to give you context. I was in straight out of school. I matriculated in 2008, so I'm still young. I'm only 30 years old today. In PM, in the previous congregation that I was part of, 30 was like, you're kind of in the middle. I think in this congregation, 30, you're kind of more towards the lower end, the younger end of the spectrum. So, straight out of school, got saved when I was 16 years old, gave my life to Jesus. I was in the hostel. So, to say that I believe it's an absolute miracle that I got saved, I was not in the environment where one should get saved, if I can say it like that. But got saved by the grace and the mercy of God, the intervention of God in my life. And soon after, about a year after I got saved, sensed the call of God on my life to go into ministry. I'll just leave out a few details about that. But so I went after school, went to TMT, Timothy Ministry Training in Wellington, the Bible school connected to Josh Jen now. Studied for 3 years, 2009 to 2011, and then started working for the church in Wellington, leading the youth in 2012, which is now nine years ago. Led the youth from 2012 to 2017, and in the meantime, in 2014, 7 years ago, me and Lisa, we got married. But we actually started dating in high school. We were in the same high school, so we come a long way as well. So I led the youth from 2012 to 2017, and then in 2017 I was brought on to eldership in Wellington, Josh Jen, by Mike Dufay, and had a real privilege of being mentored for a short season of my life by Mike. What a wonderful godly man and so enjoyed just being brought on to eldership under Mike. And then 6 months on to eldership, we have this elders meeting. It was a Wednesday night, or I can't remember exactly when it was, but like I'm standing there just having a casual chat. The elders meeting haven't even started. Andrew walks in and he says, "Chris, will you lead Dibble PM?" And I say, "Yes, I will lead Dibble PM if that's what God requires." And long story short, I've always felt the call to lead. I always believed that God has had leading on my life. And there was other things that God spoke to me just before that confirmed that I wasn't just like, "Okay, God, yes, I want to do this." But God actually spoke to me. And then that's now 3 years ago, started leading the Durbanville PM congregation, which was planted out of this congregation 4 years ago by Yaku, Erasmus, and Erika. And then, so that's 3 years ago. In the meantime, while leading the congregation, we had Isla Rose, and then later on, Jonathan David came by. Say again? Yes. Now, I'm just skipping over just a brief history, but I want to focus on what happened specifically within the last 6 months. So, in August last year, I was just experiencing in God, I started feeling a drawing of the Lord, like something that was unique to my walk with the Lord. And in that time, I started feeling like the Lord started saying to me, he said something like this, "Christopher, I want to renovate your house." And what God was referring to was, the house is my life, the place where God wants to live, the place where God wants to live. And at the time when God spoke that to me, I was very optimistic and very excited about God. I mean, like, the God of the universe, unlimited resources. Like, if anyone wants to renovate my house, let it be God. If anyone wants to renovate my life, let it be God. So I was very excited when God spoke that to me, and it was clear that I knew God. And then about a month later, we go away on a lead elders camp in Stellenbosch in September. Lead elders started getting up the first evening repenting. The next morning, another elder repents. And then again, and guys started repenting. And to be honest, during that time, I didn't have any specific convictions. I didn't feel that I need to repent. I've had sin in my life that I have shared with my fellow elder at the time, which was Rob Brown. We're still great friends, and we still cycle together now. So at the time, I didn't feel like there was a need for me to stand up and to confess any sin. I felt like I did that. And I can talk about this freely today, and that's the beauty of the church, and that's the beauty of when you bring sin into the light. And if there's a title for not my preach but my testimony today, it's made perfect in weakness. Made perfect in weakness. So you don't have to take notes, but that's just a title which maybe helps you remember a little bit about this. So I was the elders camp ended the Friday. We had church the Sunday evening, and I was preaching. I had this preach prepared, and then suddenly in worship, I felt the Lord stir my heart to go into another direction, to share about the story about David with Bathsheba. I don't know how you say that in English, Bathsheba, where he committed the sin. And then Nathan comes to David, and Nathan says to David, he tells the story to David, and he says, David says, "That man should be killed." And then Nathan says, "But David, you are that man." And as I was sharing that to the congregation, in my spirit, instantaneously, I felt the Lord say, "But Christopher, you are that man." And I was like, the conviction of the Lord came upon me. And I knew, and I know today, that if I The conviction of the Lord can sometimes come upon you so strongly, and I believe this, that if you ignore it, I believe that if I ignored the conviction of the Holy Spirit that night, I doubt if I would have been in ministry, if I would have had a future in ministry. That's how strong the Lord's conviction was. And that evening I was starting to wrestle with God. God, why are you convicting me of sin that I've already spoken of to another elder, to another believer? And I started wrestling with God, and I started realizing the reason why I've been convicted of sin was, the only reason is because I haven't dealt with my sin. And I started to realize that although I did the right thing, I knew the protocol. If I sin, I need to speak to someone. Although I knew the protocol, I upheld the letter of the law without upholding the spirit of the law. And so the next morning, I confessed my sin to my wife, which is over the last 3 years, I've looked at pornography a couple of times. I confessed that to my wife. I contacted at the time Mike Duffay. I felt not just to confess to someone alongside me, I felt I needed to now confess to someone that's over me in my walk with the Lord. Now, I want to just remind you that a month before this whole process, the Lord said to Christopher, I'm going to renovate your house. I'm going to change your life, because actually I want to live inside of you. And maybe I want to encourage us tonight, like, God actually wants to be inside of us. And so that means allowing Him to be the architect, the builder, the furnisher, everything. And I realized in my life that I haven't allowed God to be all of that in my life. And I think leadership can be a place where you get blind even to those things, because you are so busy ministering under the anointing, you're so busy ministering and you're so busy giving out Jesus that you don't always have the time, or you don't take the time to stop and to consider, hang on, where is my relationship with the Lord? And so I confessed to Mike Duffay, who was over, one of the directing elders, and then a process started where the Sunday after that Monday, I confessed to my wife and to Mike Duffay. That Sunday, I stood up in this actual building. I stood up in front of our congregation, repented first in that hall there to our leaders. And then I confessed, and it was, I regret what I've done, but to see how the church has responded has been for me one of the most beautiful moments and one of the most clearest and beautiful displays of what the church is and should be. And I witnessed, as I repented, I witnessed young men, young ladies come forward, taking the mic, eagerly repenting. They don't. Elders have to repent publicly, but saints doesn't have to. But I saw young men and women eagerly coming forward, taking the mic, saying, "I want to own my sin. I want to repent." And it was a beautiful. It was beautiful how God takes a mess and He just turns it. He makes something beautiful out of it. And so, I was at the time asked to step down from leading Durbanville PM. That was now September, end of September last year, beginning October. I can't exactly remember when, but end of September, beginning October. First Sunday of October. Thanks, Squibbers. He was there and he was part of it. So when I stood back from leading, it was very uncomfortable. And it was, for me, actually very humbling. And up until that moment, I didn't actually know how much value, identity I placed in holding a position of leading a congregation, of being a lead elder. And as I like, these are the things that you are so busy that you don't always stop to think about these things. And I was kind of pulled over and stopped. You stop, sir, show ID, license, registration, get out of the car, please, for a moment. And you were forced to think. I was forced to think about. And it was beautiful, the process, painful, very, very painful. Because it wasn't just about pornography, it was about a lifetime of suppressed emotions. Like, my emotional intelligence, I'm growing now, but it was very low. Like, I wasn't able to identify emotions in me, negative primarily. I wasn't able to even recognize that, hey, I'm angry, or I'm frustrated, or why am I angry, why am I frustrated? I didn't even know how to take notice of such things. And I started a journey and a process of healing, of restoration. We have a lady in Josh Jane. She's her and her husband is on the directing elders, Elizabeth East. She's a professional counselor. And I've had the privilege of being able to see her now a couple of times. And that has just been tremendously helpful in God helping me to unpack my life, if I can say it that way. And it was stepping down was it was just painful. It was just difficult. It was, the Bible says, no discipline is pleasant. So, I felt I'm being disciplined now. But, for two months, 3 months down, I started realizing that I started, first I was fighting against the Lord, fighting God, why am I being stepped down? And I was asking all these questions. And then I got to a point where I was saying, I was just so frustrated. Lord, I want clarity. I want the discipline to end. And I was me and Lisa, we had, I think that day we had an argument, and it was just I was just in a bad space, just here. And I was I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, you need to give me something now. I need direction. I need vision. I need a word from you, because I feel like I've got no direction. I've got no vision. I don't know when the discipline is going to lift. And I heard, at the time, I didn't know the scripture. It's a well-known scripture, but I just clearly in my mind's eye saw Psalm 46, verse 10. Now, I didn't know what Psalm 46, verse 10 said, but I know now it says, be still. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. Now, that's my desire. So, Lord, I'm standing in service of you, because I want your name to be exalted among the nations. And the Lord's answer is, how that's going to be done for now is, you be still. You be still and know that I am God. And for me, it's like, I can take joy in that verse now, but at the time, I'm to be honest, it's like, Lord, don't you have another verse for me? And that's how God is sometimes. And even I'm going to share one scripture a little bit later on. And the scripture I'm going to be sharing with you is actually, I wish that the scripture wasn't in the Bible. Because it's good news, but it's good news in a hard way. And that's sometimes how walking with the Lord is. It's great, but it's also dying to self. It's also the end of me, and that comes with pain, and that comes with a little bit of ouch, aina, along the way. And I must admit, through the process of being stepped down, and I've had to remind myself of the word that the Lord had spoken, that this whole thing, this whole process was actually about my relationship with the Lord. It wasn't about my position of leadership in the church. It wasn't about my function, whether I'm an elder, a lead elder. This was about Christopher's house and the Lord creating a house where he sees fit to live. And I want to say, whatever God is doing in your life, God is creating a space for Himself to be at home. So, here's the one verse that I have that makes this officially a preach. 2 Corinthians, I love preaching, by the way, so this is kind of like, this is kind of part of just me stepping into this new thing that God is doing in my life. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, if we can just get that up. This is Paul praying to the Lord. Paul said, but he said to me, this is now God's response to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. Again, this week, as I shared earlier, we've had probably the toughest week I can think of in our marriage, just with this, not because we were having arguments and things, just because the practicality of two little ones, three out of the four of us being sick, it was just hard. And I'm like, Lord, don't you have a verse for me? And God reminded me of, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And I was kind of, to be honest, I was like hoping for Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ. But no, God gave me the other strength one, which is, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And maybe this ties in for all of us with even the last year, the last 2 years. If you speak to Russell about COVID and what he went through, and many of us and others and family members and financial struggles and battles and worries and fears, if there can be any encouragement from my testimony of my process with the Lord, is I've learned that God is sovereign over all things, that He uses all things for His good. So everything in my life, God is using all the time to build this house of mine so that it can be fitting for Him. Amen? So God is constantly renovating so that He can dwell in greater measure in our lives, in our hearts. And that means at the time when God spoke this renovation word over my life, at the time, I was very excited, but when God started kicking down walls and when I started realizing that in the foundation of who I am, there's still rejection issues and there's still I'm still arrogant and prideful and ambitious, and it's like, it's Aina when God exposes faulty foundations. But I praise God because the last 6 months has exposed things in me that's not of God, that's not of Jesus, that doesn't reflect Him well. And I've had the opportunity, alongside accountability, fellowship, other elders, friendships, I've had the opportunity to change, to repent, and to turn to God and allow Him to do something fresh and new. And that's led to this moment where we as a family, where we've relocated from PM to AM. And to be honest, 2 months ago, I fought against not leading. And today, we as a family, we are at perfect peace in where God has placed us now. And it's because God has spoken, and it's because I'm understanding now that what is important is that I am a dwelling place for God. And that's my first ministry and my first responsibility, is to open my life, to open my heart, and to say, God, here I am, fill me, be inside of me. Because if I can do that, wherever I go, whoever I speak to, whoever I touch, they will find Jesus. They will see Jesus. They will hear Jesus. They will smell Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, wherever, I don't know, what your circumstances, what your prayer list looks like, what you like trusting God for, what the difficulty that you're going through, God is busy creating a house, which is your life, for Him to dwell in. And allow him to expose faulty foundations. Like I said, in my foundations, I didn't even know there was rejection in my foundation. I didn't even know that, like, the stuff that came out. Comparison and but I'm grateful that God exposed it and that God used the painful but beautiful process to bring about a new me, a new Christopher, and I believe the house that God lives in now is a better house than God lived in 6 months ago. And I've learned now that in God, even though I was a lead elder, now I'm an elder, not leading, I'm now under following Russell. When you're following God and you're obedient to God, you never degress, you're never going backwards, you're always going forward. No matter what it looks like on the outside. So I want to encourage you, like, allow God to work in that deep space of your life. Amen? That's enough. Let's pray and just allow the Lord to maybe minister through this. Yeah, just trust in Him. Whatever you're going through, trust in Him. He's faithful. He's faithful. He knows what He's doing all the time. He knows. Yeah, Jesus, we just invite you. Yeah, Jesus, we just invite you. Lord, our flesh hates weakness, suffering, difficulty. We don't like it and it's not pleasant. But Lord, we recognize that your hand is over all, that you are sovereign. In the midst of a COVID fallen, broken world, in the midst of financial difficulty, in the midst of a nation that is struggling and that's economy is struggling, we recognize, God, that your hand is upon our lives and that you are using all things to work for your good. And Lord, tonight, this afternoon, we realize that sometimes our good is in conflict with what is your good. And so it brings us to a place of humbling ourselves, of repenting of sin in our lives, Lord. And that's the one thing I want to maybe just mention, that if you are aware of unrepentant sin in your life, it's a direct hindrance to the Lord's working in your life. It hinders the Lord to do what He wants to do. So I want to encourage you, if there's unrepentant sin, deal with it. Repent, confess, and it's gone. I can freely talk about my sin I'm free now because it's been brought into the light. And I want to tell you, it's not worth it to keep it in the dark. It's not worth it to put it there down in the corner dark and think nobody will see it. Maybe nobody will see it, but it will hinder what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And the second thing is embrace where you are at in this moment of your life and recognize that God is in control. That God reigns and He's sovereign and He knows what He's doing. He's creating a space for Him to dwell in your life. And when He kicks down walls and He works into that foundation, it's painful. But don't resist. Don't resist what the Lord is doing. So I want to just, it's been a testimony just of our journey, but if there's an area of witness somewhere in my testimony where you recognize you can take something from this testimony and God can, like, it witnessed to you in some way, and or yeah, just in any way, I would like to pray for you. Can you just stand?